KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
We are from Hayward.
We're from the Inner Sunset.
I live in the Inner Sunset.
I live in Sausalito.
Coming up, we'll see what police departments and the state are and aren't doing to address officer-involved shootings.
It's got layers, and it's layered with racism, layered with bias. What we're saying is this system that we have right now, if we can't reform it, it must be dismantled.
Also, we'll hear from an Oakland musician about what it takes to stand out.
I honestly learned how to sing loud at open mics because I figured out that was the only way that people would stop talking over you.
And we'll hear the story behind this week's mystery sound.
Can we get a little bit more on my guitar?
We provide free tape to clients. That's how crazy I am about recording the tape.
The Audiograph Answer, news and culture from the Bay, coming up today on Cross Currents. Since Sacramento police shot and killed Stephon Clark in his grandmother's backyard last month, protests have taken to the streets almost every day. Clark is just one of more than 275 people who've been shot and killed by police around the country so far this year. That's according to the Washington Post's officer-involved shooting database. KALW's justice reporter Holly J. McDeed joins me now to talk about what's next for police reform efforts here in the Bay Area and around California. Holly, in response to this shooting, California lawmakers are considering legislation to restrict when police officers can use lethal force. What would the current bill being considered do?
So this bill, which is backed by Stephon Clark's family, was introduced this week by San Diego Assemblywoman Shirley Weber. And what it would do is it would restrict when officers are able to open fire. So right now, police can open fire when it's considered reasonable for them to do so. This proposal, though, says that officers should only be allowed to fire bullets when it's necessary. California would actually be the first state of the country to adopt that kind of standard.
But there are cities that have adopted this kind of thing, even if not at the state level yet.
Yeah, there are. San Francisco has a similar policy, and so does Oakland. And Oakland's actually one of the cities where advocates are saying that they've done a pretty good job reducing use of force. So, for example, in 2016, for the first time in two decades, no one was shot by a cop in the city.
Those are pretty significant results. Is that essentially what state lawmakers are hoping for?
Yeah, state lawmakers are looking to reduce the number of officer-involved shootings, but they're also looking to address what people feel is a lack of accountability in their police departments. So, for instance, in the courtroom, it is really difficult and rare for law enforcement to be prosecuted for officer-involved shootings because they have to, if they're able to prove that there was a reasonable fear, it's easy to justify the shooting.
Well, what do you think the chances are that this bill that's currently before the state legislature will pass?
Well, just looking at the history of failed police reform bills in California, it is unlikely to pass. As usual, it'll be a major uphill battle, and there will be serious opposition from police unions and law enforcement lobbyists with deep pockets.
So we're talking about Sacramento and bills in the state capitol. The eyes of the nation are in that city after Stephon Clark's death. What's being done on the local level about police reform in Sacramento?
So Sacramento's police chief, Daniel Hahn, has said that he is considering some policy changes within the police department. So one thing that he's mentioned is a policy against officers turning off their body cameras. That was something that happened and police were criticized for and that contributed to mistrust within the community.
In the Clark shooting.
In the Clark shooting. The second thing he's considering right now is whether police should pursue certain suspects in dangerous neighborhoods where conditions may not be safe.
So what does that mean? They just abandoned chases when people went into neighborhoods they deemed to be unsafe?
Well, it is something that other police agencies have policies around restricting pursuits because it's not always in the best interest of public safety to follow a suspect. In fact, when it comes to the Oakland Police Department, there was an internal audit 7 years ago that determined that officers there were chasing suspects basically with too much zeal and determination. So what the audit found was that they were following these suspects and they should have just given up the chase because people ended up injured when they may not have if police had kind of abandoned the mission.
So there are some reform efforts being made by police departments, but what are activists calling for right now?
So activists want the two officers who shot Stephon Clark to be charged. Other activists are calling They want the DA of Sacramento elected out of office. That includes activist Barry Axias, who actually sat down with KLW's Your Call.
As far as the actions that we're going to be taking on in the DA, we're not going to sit back and allow her to think that she's just going to be able to be reelected without a fight. We're going to put major pressure on her because she has not prosecuted or brought up charges to anyone.
Sacramento's district attorney is also up for reelection in June. Axias is also calling for the Sacramento Police Department to be defunded and replaced with something run by the community.
When you scale back the corruption that is the police, the law enforcement here in Sacramento, it's got layers, and it's layered with racism, layered with bias. The community is not saying we don't need police. But what we're saying is the police that we have right now, this system that we have right now, if we can't reform it, it must be dismantled.
Is that really a realistic option, Holly?
Well, whether or not it's realistic, it does show how tense relations with law enforcement and activists in Sacramento are right now. A demonstrator was hit over the weekend by a Sacramento County Sheriff's deputy during a vigil for Stephen Clark. The woman had fallen on her hip and shoulders, hit her head, and she was taken to the hospital and released that night. And after that, the Sacramento County Sheriff Scott Jones had held a press conference to say that the deputy probably didn't realize that he had hit the protester when he drove away. That same sheriff has also said that the protesters who were there, some of them were paid to rally in Sacramento. He said, quote, because of our history with these folks, these are paid protesters and paid people to instigate.
So activists there are calling for reform in Sacramento. What's happening in other Bay Area cities, Holly?
So last month, there had been a series of tense town hall meetings over officer-involved shootings in San Francisco, one where police fired 26 rounds of bullets in a barbershop shootout. In another shooting, officers fired 99 rounds at a man hiding in the trunk of a Honda Civic in San Francisco's Mission District. That's 125 bullets fired by the city's police department in 1 month. Mm. So some people are questioning why they're firing so many bullets. Meanwhile, in the city, the police union has gathered signatures to put a proposal for tasers on the city's June ballot. Among major U.S. cities, only San Francisco and Boston don't have stun guns.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is really developing situations all around California. Thank you so much, Holly.
Thank you, Ben.
Holly J. McDeed is KALW's justice reporter. You can reach her at justice@kalw.org. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hana Baba. Singer-songwriter Madeline Kenny is part of Oakland's vibrant music community. She released her debut album, Night Night, at the First Landing last year, and since then she's been touring the country. To support her music, she's worked as a bread baker, a nanny, a piano teacher, and an intern at the Women's Audio Mission in San Francisco. In this edition of Bay Area Beats, we'll hear Madeline talk about what it takes to make a sound all your own.
You're right that I knew.
My name is Madeline Kenny, and I just put out a record last year called Night Night at the First Landing. I definitely been playing music out live like for a long time, but a lot of that was open mics and stuff. I just kind of was super depressed and would go out to open mics. Like, playing an open mic is harder than playing a show, because at a show people are there to listen to music, and at open mics they really couldn't care less. I honestly learned how to sing loud at open mics because I figured out that was the only way that people would stop talking over you while you were performing. If you can sing, you should sing loud. Or you should just like really let it out, I think.
How does it feel to have to always be?
The time in which my record came out was really interesting because a lot of female and non-binary people were seeing a lot of success. And so that, as wonderful as that is, and I support it fully, obviously, I would get lumped in to just girls with guitars, you know? I had an interviewer ask me, like, oh, it must be a great time to be a woman in music. And I'm like, well, you know, women have always been making music. And it's not really a great time because you just asked me that question. We're still being like tokenized for just being good at what we do, and I think that's kind of crazy. Sometimes I wish I was asked more than just about like the men that I'm associated with. And that is something, I've almost made a t-shirt that said that, ask me more than just about the men I associate with, because I think that's like, that's a trapping in the music industry too. It definitely is a battle to get over people's opinions of what you make. But I think it's really about defining your own success. Like, I've been working really hard on that and trying to, you know, decide. For me, success is getting to play my music in front of people and surviving. No matter who you are as an artist, you're always kind of fighting against being compared or categorized in a certain way that you would never think to yourself, like, oh, that's who I am, you know. Maybe that kind of connects back to, you know, my open mic days and being like, I need to stand out in some way. I don't know. I trust that the music will, for anyone, their own music should stand out on its own, and like the people that connect with it will get it. And yeah, and that's all that really matters. If there's like two people like connect with it, then I'm happy. The best advice I think I've ever gotten is from Meryl, from Garbus from Toon Yards, and she said, just like, hold on so tight to your art and make what is true to you, because it only gets harder to hold on to.
That was musician Madeline Kenny featuring songs of her debut album, Night Night, at the First Landing. She'll perform at Bottom of the Hill this Saturday night. For more information, head to our website, kalw.org. That story was produced by Hannah Kingsley Maw. This is Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hana Baba. And now we're going to stay on the music tip for this week's Audiograph, the Bay Area's sonic signature. All week long, we've been playing you this sound.
Can we get a little bit more on my guitar?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Can I hear,
we're rolling.
Think you know what that was? Well, it's a recording studio in San Francisco's Mission District called Tiny Telephone. It's been in business for over 20 years. Tiny Telephone serves an eclectic community of local and international musicians, and it specializes in recording music to tape. Remember tape? It's that shiny, ribbon-like material you might have pulled out of your favorite cassettes a long time ago? Well, at Tiny Telephone, tape is very much a thing of the present, and if studio owner John Vanderslice has his way, it will continue to be used well into the future. KALW's Zaina Nasser is a fellow in our audio academy, and she first went to Tiny Telephone a few years ago when she was making a record with her band. Now she's back to give us a glimpse into what goes on behind closed studio doors.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
I'm ready, ready, ready!
And I hit record play. Record play. Here we go.
Taekwon.
Are you guys ready?
We're ready, Taekwon.
It's very colorful. The walls and the floor are different colors, and the trim are different colors, and the doors are different colors. And there are small little picture frames of all sizes everywhere, with different weird photos in them, and so many of the coolest vintage synthesizers you can think of, alongside the coolest guitars and an amazing selection of drums.
We're rolling.
My name is Mariam Kadous. I'm a recording engineer and producer. What led me to this path, it started from making my own music and working at recording studios. And I've been working at Tiny for 3 or 4 years, maybe. The recording field is highly, highly dominated by men. Women already feel so, at times, afraid of going into a technical field. You feel just a little bit outcast in a way, and sometimes you feel like you're not smart enough, or there are so many insecurities that come paired with it. But thankfully, I'm around really great men who are recording engineers.
Hey, Darian, can I hear your guitar just on your own?
What does it mean to you to be part of the Tiny Telephone community as an engineer and as an artist?
Well, it's pretty special to me personally, you know, like from the time I knew about Tiny and from the time I started making my music here, I wanted to be a part of it. My last record was called Television. I made it at Tiny Telephone. I watched you from afar,
drunk beside those bleak, bleak stars. Was it produced by John Vanderslice?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's John Vanderslice, JohnVanderslice.
Tell me, do you want to hear one of these Ryan mixes before you go?
I followed a girl here. I followed her here, and then we didn't get together. And the only reason I stayed was that I rented this space that we're sitting in from an ad in the Chronicle. It's $660, and I rented it with 9 other people, and it was like a kind of a rehearsal co-op, and we slowly transitioned it. There were recording studios in San Francisco at the time, but they seemed to be completely like stratified, either at the very, very bottom, like, you know, serving like punk and like really, really like poor bands without any money, or on the other side, like studios with hardwood floors and uptight owners. So I really thought that there might be something in the middle, but it took me a couple years to sort that out. When it first opened, it was $100 a day. It was a very modest studio.
And what are the rates now?
They're shockingly close to what they were 17 years ago, actually. The B room is $250 a day, which is insane. It's crazy. 2017, like, we really want to make records with people, and we want to make it affordable. And I know that we're competing against sometimes very, very creative home recording setups. So I just try to keep rates low. Maybe 80% of the records that come out of here are recorded on tape and mixed on tape, and there's no editing on a computer. I'll get resumes and there'll be like Pro Tools certification, you know, and I'll be like, listen, you being really good at Pro Tools is worth like $1.70 an hour. Everyone has a computer, like who cares? Like everyone has a microwave oven. That's not like going to a restaurant, you know what I mean? Like this should be a rarefied and unusual experience, a heightened, elevated experience, or what are we doing?
Jamie's he feels very passionate about it, which is great. And this is why this studio is successful, because Jamie's very passionate about analog recording. And I am too. What I love about recording on tape is that it's very instinct-based. You have to decide on full takes. And I love the commitment factor.
This is a Studer 827. It's a gold edition. It's one of the last 100 that came off the line in 2001. It's like the size of like a refrigerator.
It's very heavy, like really incredibly heavy.
And this black sort of, what is it? Is that 2 inches?
That is 2 inch. Yeah, that is 2 inch
width
tape.
Of 2 inches.
Yes.
Tape.
It's a 2 inch 24 track.
And it's cycling. What would you call that?
This is a supply reel and this is a take up reel. And we provide free tape to clients. Otherwise, we really couldn't muscle bands into recording on tape because they would have to buy it. That's how crazy I am about recording on tape, is that I actually buy tape for people.
The only people who come to our shows are like friends and family and our moms. Yeah, except for Eric's mom. His mom doesn't love him.
Yeah, my mom didn't come to our last show.
Your mom doesn't like the music? What's the deal?
Oh, no, she loves my music. Well, that's what she says, at least. And
JV paired me with this band.
So it was JV's call.
Yeah, he was like, I think this would be a good match.
Where does the name Mutilations come from?
We were running around trying to figure out a song or band name, and Jordan came up with Wave of Mutilation. It's a Pixies song, one of his favorite bands. My name is Antonio Villegas. I play the bass.
I'm Darian Darebear Costa, and I play rhythm guitar and backing vocals.
My name is Eric Escobedo. I play and lead vocal and lead guitar. I write most of the music, and here's Jordan.
Okay, so I'm Jordan, and I play the drums.
We all grew up in San Leandro, California. That's our hometown. We've been a band since sophomore year of high school. Yeah, 2013. And we recently just decided to make a record.
How would you describe your music?
I don't know. Like with emojis? With emojis, it would be like the wave emoji and like the skull emoji. That's the best way. Yeah, death surf. The main character is Greg.
The main character is named.
And I get in the story, he like kidnaps his girlfriend and her secret lover.
Yeah, what are the lyrics? Can you say the words for me?
The lyrics are, Greg, 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 she's your lady, why you want her dead? God is going to tell you once more, you're not qualified to love her so. Helping humanity is all you need, so boy, can't you see? Helping humanity is all you need, boy,
can't you see? All our music tends to have like a dark side to it, even though if it's a more, you know, upbeat song.
Where do you think that comes from? Like, why is that the approach?
I think one of the songs that really like messed with us was You Can't Do That by the Beatles on Hard Day's Night. It's a very happy song, but it's about John Lennon beating his girlfriend for talking to a guy. And it's a song that I could never see being made today, but it's like, if you didn't listen to lyrics, you would think it was a really happy thing.
No matter where you are in the art world or music world, like, you have to work really hard. To pair with that, you have to be surrounded by people who believe in you.
There's a scene here, we just have to find it. We have to find our niche, you know?
I grew up here, and I've been here my whole life, and I love being here. I love being at Tiny.
If I died tomorrow, which I will not die tomorrow, but if I died tomorrow, I made a lot of records, I toured, I had great relationships, great friendships, but the thing that I think that I did that was the hardest and that was the feels like the biggest accomplishment was running a profitable arts business.
That story was produced by Zaina Nasser. She's a fellow in our audio academy, and thanks very much for that. Well, we didn't have a winner this week. Nobody guessed Tiny Telephone, but that's all right. You'll get another chance. And in the meantime, we want to know, where do you think Audiograph should record next? Give us a call and tell us at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. We love hearing from you. Today's Cross Currents team includes Angela Johnston, Nina Gensler-Debs, Medisol Medina Cadena, Truk Nguyen, Marissa Ortega-Welch, Andrew Stelzer, Bo Walsh, and Josh Wilson. Our engineers are Jackie Sojico, James Rollins, and Gabe Graben. The line producer is Liza Veal. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. You're listening to music by Star Amarasu. She calls herself a pop-tronic princess. This Bay Area resident will be part of the Women in Music Festival at Oakland's Star Line Social Club this Saturday. Show begins at 8 p.m. For Cross Currents, I'm Ben Trefney.
When I think of what I want to be, there's always something clear that I see. The wind is racing, my pulse is rushing.